I love my school and all, but my teachers seem really stressed, and that makes me feel bad. One teacher walks around with a clipboard full of referrals for any student whose mask isn't on properly. It makes me feel scared. That same teacher yells at us having our masks down to drink water while we are outside in car line. She told us we had to wait until we were in our parents' car to have a drink of water. She had her mask down the entire time while she was yelling at us, which makes me and all my friends very mad. This happens a lot. And it seems unfair teachers take their masks off while they yell at us kids and that we need to pull ours up. I asked my mom if there is a word for this, and she said there is. Hypocrisy.
Wearing a mask? Yay. That's 10-year-old John talking in front of the Martin County School Board. That's pretty audacious for a 10-year-old. Gotta love the gumption. Gonna be a lot of COVID talk on this here episode of the Felt Recall podcast, but we'll get to all that in just a moment. First of all, charity of choice, the father of two, sits across from me now, Mr. Hulon. Welcome back, sir.
Thank you, sir.
Yeah, how are you?
Tired.
I thought about you the other day because we were walking around in downtown Greer, and I saw a car, and on the back, I thought this was pretty smart, it had a thing that said, buy the bride a drink, and then it had the girl's like Venmo account or something. I don't think it was Venmo, it was something else. Anyway, it had her username if you wanted to send her money. She's obviously getting married. I thought Hulon could do that.
Yep.
Buy the new dad a drink or something.
Just make it say babies need shoes or something.
Yeah. New dad, new baby on board, support my family. Here it is.
Yeah.
I was then reminded, and I wanted to remind everyone who didn't know maybe, Joe Biden this week popped for his Venmo account.
Yep.
Right? Mm-hmm. Leader of the free world. How did this happen? He says in an interview he's got Venmo, and then
within like 10 minutes,
BuzzFeed News figures out what his Venmo account is and who his contacts on Venmo are.
Was his handle like at the big guy?
See, you're probably right. But also B, who cares about Joe Biden's Venmo? It's Hunter's Venmo that we want access to, right?
True enough.
So we came up with our top three most likely Hunter Biden passwords for Venmo.
Yep.
So if you can figure out what Hunter Biden's Venmo username is, we have a couple of suggestions for you as to what his password may be. Now, this one, some would call racist, but I think this one could very well be true. Okay. Not saying anything else until I tell you the password.
We've been called worse.
I mean, that's true. I think Chinaman 2020 is probably a strong contender for his password.
Yep.
Because he is the Chinaman of the Biden clan.
It's true.
Right.
He's the bag man, that's for sure.
They like him.
Yep.
Then we had what I think are mandatory crack smoking references, which you can do with what you want. But we thought China crack guy was a good one. China crack
combines
guy
combines a lot of the things that he loves. See,
yes,
people often do for passwords.
China crack guy one. Yep. Mm-hmm. Crack guy 100 is another one. Now, each of these, by the way, I should point out, whether it's China crack guy or Chinaman, you got to use the at symbol instead of a somewhere in there.
Yep.
Right? And that way you're adding that character.
You have to have one of those.
At all the
it's a requirement these days.
Yeah. All right. Let me ask you, how's the new baby?
She's really good.
Yeah. Was it a quick one? How long were you in the hospital?
Yeah, man. We were scheduled, so we went in the morning, and I almost missed it.
Oh, no kid?
Yeah. Yeah,
well, how do you almost miss it? Hey,
I knew you were going to ask. So
be right back.
Well, we came in at like 8 o'clock in the morning and I didn't eat anything.
Okay.
And I guess I did that, to show support because my wife was not allowed to eat anything.
Right.
So what I mean by that is I wasn't going to like eat breakfast
and make in front of her,
make her watch. So
how long did the support
unified
last?
Front?
Right, right.
Yeah, unified front. So we go to the hospital, and around like 1:30, I'm like, hey, you know, I think you got this. So I'm going to run downstairs to the cafeteria. I'm going to grab some lunch.
Now, I'm going to interrupt for just a second.
Yep.
I think you're okay here, okay? Because you're hungry and you're not high.
That is true.
5 hours after arrival, has she gotten any drugs? Is she loopy?
So, yeah, yes. So she had, well, no, she wasn't loopy. She did opt for the epidural.
Okay. Has so she had it yet by 1:30?
She got it around 1.
Oh, yeah.
And they kind of eased it in. I think that's about right.
So in my opinion, you're in the free and clear. I mean, she's all doped up.
Yeah.
She doesn't care. She's not hungry anymore.
Well, they gave her like some Jell-O or something, you know. So yeah. She had something. So I'm like, hey, I'm going to run downstairs. I'll be right back. It's not a big hospital. We're on the top floor, which is like the fourth.
Okay, gotcha.
Okay, yeah. It's not like I got to go like blocks to go to get something to eat. I wasn't going to leave and like, you know, go out to get something. So I go downstairs and I get there and I take one look in the window of the cafeteria and I go, man, hospital food sucks. I just really am not feeling it.
Yeah.
So I go, you know what? I'm just going to go grab like a soft drink, something out of the machine, and just go back upstairs.
Sure.
So I stopped by the bathroom while I was down there, and then I went to the soda machine. I grabbed something to drink, grabbed something to eat out of there. I come back upstairs, and I open the door, and there's like three people in there because it was Lindsay and the nurse, so now there's three more people in there, and they're literally like, all right, let's give it a push.
No.
And I was like, okay, wait a second.
So what are we pushing?
So you
guys moving the couch?
When I said, I'm going to go downstairs, Lindsay was like, I'll be right here.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, she's a good sport about it. She doesn't care. She knows, you know, I need to go eat something.
And for anyone that doesn't know the process, I think this is some necessary context here. When a woman is having a baby, there's this strange thing they do. It's not strange. It's necessary. It's awkward. For the guy, it's probably awkward for her too, I guess. They measure.
Yep.
Like every hour or so, they come in and give you a new measurement of where we're at here. Yep. And then you're waiting on that magical number.
Mm-hmm.
9? What is it?
10.
10? Okay. You're waiting on that magical number, and then that's when you know it's go time.
Yep.
So I'm assuming when you went to get your snack and have some alone time.
Yep.
Which is, by the way I'm going to play this for as long as I know you. I'll be at your cookouts with your family.
I needed a
moment. Yeah, and I'll be like, so I remember when Lindsay was having the second baby and Patrick was like, I just need some me time. And he ran downstairs and almost missed the birth. I'm assuming when you decided you needed a break from all that bedlam, she wasn't close to 10.
No.
Okay.
Close to half of that.
All right.
And so the nurse looks at me. So Lindsay goes, I'll be right here. You know, she gives me a little dose of the smart ass.
Right.
And I said, yep, I know. And the nurse goes, now, mind you, this is like 1:30. And I said, I'll be back in a little while. And the nurse looks at me dead in the face as I'm walking past her. And she goes, I mean, don't get in a big hurry. We're probably not having this baby till about 7 o'clock.
Oh, no kidding.
And at 2:05... she was here.
Hey.
So
nice one, nurse.
I went downstairs about 1:30. I got back in the room within 15 minutes, maybe.
Did you?
Yep. It was on like Donkey Kong.
All right. Repeat that because I interrupted you. You left the room at what? 1:15?
1:30-ish.
1:30 and you were back by when?
About 1:45.
Okay.
And at 2:05.
15 minutes.
At 2:05, she was born. She was with us.
Okay. The rest of the time you were there, when that nurse would come around, would you pretend you had been saying something? Like, did you do the thing I like to do where you would like see the person? Like, this is how I would play it. Let me put it this way. This is how I'd play. So the nurse would be, I'd see her walk in the door and I'd act like I wouldn't. I'd go, yeah. And I did almost miss it because somebody thought she could play doctor. And I would like turn and be looking at her and go, oh,
I didn't.
I didn't know.
For a couple of reasons.
I didn't see you.
When they gave her the epidural, they gave you some fluid before that. They call it a bolus. Mm-hmm. And so this nurse starts this drip, and one of the side effects of it, and I don't know what it's for, to be honest with you, but one of the side effects is it makes you shake, like a shiver.
Yeah.
You're not cold, but
it gives you shakes.
It presents itself as if you're freezing to death. Hmm. So my wife was like shaking legitimately uncontrollably.
Yeah.
So the anesthesiologist walks in and was like, hey, looks at her and is like, hey, do me a favor. Don't ever bolus one of my patients without me in the room ever again.
Oh, no kidding.
And he starts jumping down her throat. He was trying to be nice about it because it was a room full of people, but he was not a happy camper. And I'm
because he's got to know where we're at, right?
Well, I don't know that it was so much that, because he could look up and see how much was still in the bag. But so what I realized was this man has got to insert this giant needle into her back and hit her spine, right?
Yeah.
So if she's shivering uncontrollably, that's going to make that very hard to do. So that was my realization as to why he was as mad as he was. So that was like strike one against her.
I gotcha.
Strike two was telling me I had all day when I had 20 minutes. And then strike three, I think there was some, I won't get into the gory details, there's some procedural things that the nurse is supposed to do.
Afterwards.
Before, during, and after.
Yeah. Okay.
And I don't think she hit those benchmarks, if you will.
Sure.
And so the doctor that actually did the delivery was like visibly agitated basically the entire time at her. So it became pretty obvious that no one in the room liked her. Like none of the other nurses, none of the doctors liked her.
Tough, huh?
And she was not really great at her job.
Yeah.
So I left her alone to answer your question.
Gotcha.
Because I felt like she was already having
getting it from every angle.
Like a really, really, and I don't mean like, oh shucks, you know, yeah. Like almost told this guy to go take a lunch and he would have missed it.
Yeah, yeah.
No, it was like she was having a professionally bad day.
I gotcha.
You know? So I left her alone.
Compounded and worse by the fact that she probably thought, okay, I got that one wrong. But as long as I get this next thing right.
Yeah, I think you're exactly right. I think that was the only thing keeping her going was like, all right, I know I screwed that up.
Like when
I'm going to nail the next.
When she told you to go get lunch, in her head, she was like, the anesthesiologist is so angry at me right now. I'm about to make this guy's day.
Yep.
Because I know he's got 6 hours.
Yep.
At least. Yep. So he'll be real happy. In fact, I'm going to tell him go home.
Send him down there.
Go home.
To go
take a nap, watch the game.
I'm going to send him down there for some of that nice hospital Salisbury steak.
Right. I don't know what hospital you were in. You don't have to say if that's weird for you, but we've had our kids at a place called St. Francis Eastside. So it's kind of, it's real close to what has become the epicenter of Greenville, right? Like there's downtown Greenville, but then there's like where everybody is every day, which is like the Woodruff Road area of Greenville. And ours have all been there, and that place is always legit. Like we had all three kids there. If I'm not mistaken, I like how I say we. My wife had all the kids. I didn't have any kids, but all of our kids were born in that hospital, I do believe. And their breakfasts are legit. Like they have really good breakfasts, but that's about all I would eat from there. We always went because there's a clock right across the street.
Yeah,
that's the other great part. And a Monterey's, and so you know, I know my wife. You know. She's there at the hospital. They'll take care of her.
Right.
So I just go out.
Right. You sleep. No big deal.
4 o'clock. It's like $3 margaritas, man. Exactly. I'll see you later. But no, no.
Do you want me to bring you one back?
Yeah.
Okay.
You going to want one?
Get one to-go cup.
No, but that's the way we always went. And Rafferty's before, rest in peace, before it went up in flames. Yeah. I'd go there and just get to-go food and come back. And that's what we ate.
I always enjoyed it. I did get to leave. There was a little fear that I was going to be like,
oh, that's true, because of COVID.
Like a prisoner in that hospital. And I'm going to be honest
with you. Yeah.
First kid, you know, everything's new. There's anxiety. There's excitement. It's just, there's a lot going on. people coming to visit, the whole nine yards. This time, no one could come in or out except for me.
Oh, man.
Which my wife actually enjoyed, I think, because it just, you know, she could just relax and, you know, not feel like an animal at the zoo.
Right.
But, you know, so they did let me leave. But this time, because you don't have as much of that anxiety and the, you know, just the fact that it's all so new to you.
Right.
It was very low key having no visitors and it not being the first. And so after about 3 hours, I was like, all right, we're ready to go home now.
Yeah.
Like, I'm done.
And how long did they keep you?
3 days.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Jeepers, dude.
Yep.
Here's the deal. In my head, as you tell this story, I kind of am hearing Miley Cyrus in my head.
I'm sorry.
Right? The Wrecking Ball song, right? Remember that? And, I do.
Unfortunately.
Yeah. Yeah, there it is. You're not coming down. And I, like, in this part of my mind, your mom is slowly walking down the hospital hallway, right? And then a nurse tries to stop her. It's like, ma'am, due to COVID restrictions, only one person in the room. And your mom's like, no. And the nurse is like, ma'am, there's nothing we can do about it. CDC guidelines. And your mom's like, ain't gonna happen. And right now, there's nurses flying every direction.
In slow-mo.
Your mom's throwing elbows. She just grabbed a woman and kneed her in the face. Were your parents able to get up to the hospital and meet the new kid?
No.
Not at all?
No, they would not let anyone in.
That is crazy.
Yep.
What a world.
But here's the funny part. We got there, and they have a desk, which is really not a desk. It's a folding table, let's be honest. And this is their, like, COVID checkpoint. Okay? So there's a lady sitting at the desk, and I expect... you know, the laser thermometer to the forehead, the 100 questions about, you know, your bowel movements and everything else.
Right.
And this lady goes, hey, how's it going? I said, good, good. And she says, so what are you guys here for? I said, well, she's going to have a baby. She goes, oh, okay, great. So, have you guys had COVID? I said, nope. She goes, any symptoms, like anything going on last like 10 days or so? I said, nope, just pregnant. She goes, all right, well, you guys can head on up. There's the elevator right there. Have a good day.
And that was
that
easy.
That was the whole thing.
That's wild. I mean, because, you know, we've probably talked about this, but the first time, I don't remember. Yeah, I think that was my, it doesn't matter what doctor I was at. I don't know why I'm stuck on it. Anyway, I had a doctor's
appointment. As many ailments as you have, I could understand where it would be hard to keep
up. I have a couple of doctors. But I was going to one of them. I think it was my specialist, my oncologist guy or whatever he is.
Geriatric guy.
Yeah. The point is, you know this because it was a coworker of ours that we had just found out had COVID like a day after we interacted with him. And so they say to me, what's that?
R.I.P.
R.I.P. Yeah, right.
It's only funny because he quit, not because he died.
Yeah. I would have, too, after that, because I had all these plans about asking how long he'd been a Chinese spy when he got back and all that. But it was like Chernobyl at that hospital. Everybody was head to toe covered. Have you had any interaction with somebody with COVID? And I said, yeah, actually, I did a couple days ago. And they're like, whoa. And a nurse came out with, like, a regular surgeon's mask and then a full-on face mask. And she's like, okay, like, what were the circumstances? And I told her, and she's like, yeah, go ahead and put a mask on. Because at this point, it was, if you've had exposure, you'll put a mask on so that you're not spreading it.
It was the first mask lie.
Yeah, the first mask.
Got it.
Anyway, look, before we get into the COVID talk, congrats on the new baby. It's awesome. I really do think it's just so much fun once you have more kids. More and more and more. Just keep having them if your wife will let you. Once you've had one, you can have nine. That's my opinion on it.
I think that's the plan. Yeah, we'll see how it goes.
Nine? Nine's the plan? Does she know that?
Yep. Well, she does now. Thanks, Chris.
I got you, dog. We friends. All right. Congrats. Glad you're back, by the way. I did want to say to anybody,
I enjoyed last week's episode.
You know, immensely. It's funny.
I don't think anything was accomplished. I want to say that from the outset.
No.
But it sounded like a great time.
And just like last week, this week we're going to shelve all the important items and we'll be back next week to solve the world's problems.
Fair enough.
For now, we're just going to shoot the breeze. The thing about Stump that must be said, a little behind the scenes, is he got here 5:30, maybe 6. I think that's right. And somewhere around 7:30.
I like that you probably said be here at 10 p.m. and he knocked on the door at like 6 and was like, early bird gets the worm.
Yeah. Let's hang out, friend. No, he was prompt on time. The point is, he got here like 5 or 5:30. And I guess I can say it in a very easy way. The fun part about that episode is knowing that there was like a 2-hour conversation before we ever started recording the episode. And he is like that all the time.
Sure.
Like what you hear on the microphone is what he is 24/7. It's not like he doesn't walk into the room and flip a switch. He literally walked in and sat in the same chair you're in now. And we start just going back and forth about life in general, things that have happened with him and me since the last time we saw each other. And then I eventually had to go, I don't want to be rude, but can I record this?
I think you should have just started recording? Not even told him and just went boop.
It would have almost been exactly the same. It is so much fun when he comes and hangs out. It really is a good time. And so I just think that's worth saying because I don't know if you're like me. I'm a cynic, right?
What?
And yes, I know. We're in this world, especially with my kids, I get so guarded about the YouTubers, right? Because like my kids and I will play video games together. I'll play Minecraft with them. I'll play Fortnite with them or whatever. And they like playing that stuff. And I, you know, I actually like video games. I think they can put you immersively into a world that really can help expand a kid's imagination, right? So like, I'll play those games with them. But I can always tell when my oldest has been consuming the YouTubers. Because the minute you turn it on, he starts yelling and screaming. And I'm like, okay, stop. Nobody's really like that in real life. Those guys are fake. That's not who they are. So I always have to be like, we're not going to play if you're going to yell. We're not going to play if that's your reaction. We have to stop. Please stop. And by the way, rule of thumb, I try not to tell my kids to be normal. Because I hate that, because what is normal? Like, somebody has a definition of normal, that's what I think it is. So I just have to be like, be you. That's not you, that's some dude on YouTube, and by the way, that's not who he is when the camera goes off. So that's a sore spot for me, I hate that. Stump, 100,000%, what you hear is what you get with that guy. And that's what you love about him is, he's just as candid, and as jovial, and as fun as he seems, if that makes sense. So,
yep.
I always love when he comes by. I had such a good time. I have to adjust my... there you go.
I do want to go ahead and make a point.
Yes.
A challenge was issued at the end of the episode.
Oh, boy.
He wants to race.
Yeah.
So let me go ahead and say challenge accepted.
Let's go.
Now, I'm going to accept that challenge.
Okay.
That comes along with the bet that he laid down.
Uh-huh.
$100 to the charity of choice. I'm going to accept it knowing he's probably going to beat me. Okay.
Yeah.
Now, you've raced against me.
Yep.
I'm not too shabby.
No, you're good. You're a good driver.
I can get around.
Mm-hmm.
I enjoy it. I don't do it as much as I would like to. I've only been a couple times with Stump.
Mm-hmm.
And every time I've ever been, I'm out in front and then I get passed like I'm standing still. So I expect to lose and I'm still willing to play fair and pony up should I lose.
Let's do it. I can't wait.
So we're going to work out some details probably here in the next couple weeks. because I think we're looking at going up to the GoPro park.
Mm-hmm.
So we're going to film it.
Yep, we can do that.
I think we need to go ahead and GoPro up. And
I don't see why they wouldn't. Like, can you imagine calling the GoPro track and be like, hey, we want to come make a video there? And they're like, oh, we don't allow recording. I'm sure they'd love it. They'd dig it. Yeah.
I think they actually rent GoPros out to people there. So,
okay.
But I think we've got our own. So
as long as they don't listen to the podcast first, we'll be more than welcome.
That is true. Yeah.
It's always a worry. Isn't it funny? That's the world we're in. My wife runs her website business, and sometimes she'll be like, yeah, I got this client, and her husband does a podcast. I told him, check yours out. I was like, whoop, 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 whoop.
Yeah, don't do that.
Let's pump the brakes. Yep. Do we know what that guy believes yet? Because everybody's feelings are so easily hurt. I had lunch today. Picnic table lunch is kind of fun. We were doing some photos for work. So we were down in Lawrence County, and we're all getting sunburned. And they just ordered pizzas, and we threw them across this picnic table. And there were only four or five of us left at that point. And it was three people I don't really spend a lot of time with, right? So I don't know them super well or anything. But point is, the guy to my left, who I'll just leave nameless for the sake of everything, told me, I've met him before, but he told me that he had had COVID and he got really sick, spent 3 weeks in the hospital, lost like 25 pounds. He's such a nice guy. And I was like, man, I'm really sorry to hear that, you know? And so then we get to lunch and the topic of COVID comes up and everything's like really, well, I felt anxious because here he is and I know he just had it not so long ago and he suffered tremendously, it sounded like. But it did occur to me, and I said it out loud. I was like, you know what the worst part of COVID is? And I think I've been consistent on this. It's the way we're treating each other because of COVID.
Sure.
Like, the world has become so mean to each other as a rule because of COVID. Because somebody is scared to get something, and they don't want to be sick, and they don't want to suffer. Nobody blames them for that. But we're such a lost cause almost when it comes to the way we treat each other in the time of fear and panic. Isn't that wild to think about? Like, we just saw fist fights over a gas shortage, right? On the heels of...
Hey, but that guy deserved it, and he won't mess with me again.
Yeah. You looked like a woman in that video, just so you know. I was going to say we're on the heels of, but we're in the middle of a president and members of his party, which this is kind of what I really wanted to talk about tonight, was this what I'm going to call a multifaceted confession from the left, that the masks have been political. All of COVID has been politicized. Few people are left that are willing to just honestly approach COVID, look at the science, and say, well, this is what we do. In fact, I do want to give credit where credit's due. My brother-in-law, right, is part of a church in North Carolina, and he preached Sunday school a couple weeks ago up there, and I was using sermon audio to listen to it and hear what he had to say, and I thought he did a tremendous job. And he said in there, he said, you know, what's interesting about COVID is there's truth on both sides. And I don't remember the term he used. It was some smart person term that I would never retain. But he basically said it's not a one-sided fallacy is what I think he called it, meaning it's not that one side is right and one side is wrong.
Right.
Both sides can be right at the same time, and both sides can be wrong at the same time. So it is okay to say we should wear masks to protect people, but it is also okay to go, but there needs to be a line in the sand where the government's not allowed to tell us the things we have. He didn't. These are my words, not his. But there's that line in the sand where the government's no longer allowed to tell churches to shut down and not worship, like they're doing in Canada. They just arrested a second pastor. Don't know if you saw that. They can't tell us to not worship. They can't tell us we have to stay in our home and not travel and commence in commerce because we haven't been vaccinated. That's what our president is doing right now. That's what the members of his party are doing. Anyway, I thought it was a great message. Maybe it spurred me to thinking, I don't know, but I did start thinking, it's just such a tremendous loss for American society, how we've become treating each other because of this thing we're afraid of.
What's sort of the punctuation on society's like mutual exclusivity? Like, you can only be this. You can't, you know, there is no Venn diagram where you fit in the middle.
Right.
Everything has to be all or nothing. It's black or it's white. You know, it's
I mean, that's what cancel culture really is, right?
Yeah. I mean, it's a strange place where I don't know that anyone could say how we got to it. Like, what was the catalyst for this?
Right.
I don't know. But I can tell you what, you know, I may not be able to tell you what the means are, but the end was COVID.
Yeah.
You know, where that was taken to this extreme where now even people, now that CDC says you don't have to wear a mask, you have all these liberals on Twitter jumping on saying, well, I'm going to keep wearing a mask so people don't think I'm a Republican.
Right.
What are you talking about?
Yes, exactly right.
Like, what does that even mean?
That means that it was politicized. Like, in their mind,
what
they were doing was, and by the way, that was David Hogg that tweeted, and he said, I feel the need to continue wearing my mask outside, even though I'm fully vaccinated, because the inconvenience of having to wear a mask is more than worth it to have people not think I'm a conservative.
Hang on a second. I'm sure he did tweet that, but I can go ahead and tell you right now, that guy has never had an original thought in his head.
Oh, okay.
You know he's a liar from the jump off, right? Mm-hmm. But there were people legitimately tweeting that days before he did. So
I'd believe you there.
I get where you're citing him, but let's not give him too much credit. All right.
Fair enough, man.
That's a legitimate moron right there.
Fair enough. AOC basically said the same thing, if you can believe that. She's going to continue to wear it because it helps on days she doesn't want to put her makeup on. But it has become a symbol of...
I bet the cost of lipstick for her is, like, astronomical. It's got, like, a horse mouth.
Oh, man. Sorry. By the way...
Sorry, not sorry.
Can I divert real fast? I don't know who this Marjorie Taylor Greene lady is.
I don't either.
But I like love her. Already. Yeah, I was about to say. I don't know anything about her, but these stories I keep reading, I know that...
I just like that her mere presence pisses everyone off.
That just makes me want to be her friend.
It's very, like, she... I almost feel like she's getting headlines the way Trump did.
Yes.
Like they don't have Trump to talk about, right? So what have they talked about?
Right.
Nothing but COVID and vaccines.
Yeah.
And now that's not really something to talk about. So now she's entered the chat... And it's like...
She's like trolling these people in real life. Did you see what
Trump did,
though? To Swalwell? Did you see the Swalwell thing? Like, her aide saying, Biden says you can take your mask off. Dude, so good. It's so good. It's so good. Yes, 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 yes. So all these people, I don't know that Hogg understood that's what he was doing at the time. Even if he stole the idea, what he stole was the idea that a mask means you're a liberal. You're a liberal thinker. Now... Is that true? No, not at all. You know, we live in South Carolina. I go to Publix. Everybody's wearing a mask. Those people aren't all liberal thinkers. They're not all progressive Democrats. Those people are all buying into something that I don't necessarily think is true, but that's okay with me. Like, I don't go in there and yell at them or mock them or ridicule them for wearing their masks. But the inverse is not true, right? Like, if you decide to not wear a mask, now everybody yells at you because you're endangering everyone else. Because the science evolved. So let's think for just a quick second. Walk with me down mask memory lane. And let's remember how this went. The CDC and Fauci said, don't wear masks. The Surgeon General of the United States said, don't go out and buy masks. Surgeons need them for legitimate medical reasons, and you don't. Then... Suddenly,
we don't want to create a shortage, essentially.
Right, exactly. Yep. Yes. Then suddenly it became, wear a mask. Wear a mask if you think you've had exposure to COVID-19.
Two weeks to flatten the curve.
Yeah.
Right around the same time.
Just before that. Okay. It was, if you've had exposure, right? I think this is right. You tell me. But if you think you've had exposure, go ahead and put a mask on. Okay, and wait it out. If you can stay home, like we did after our coworker incident, if you remember, it was like, okay, what do we do? Well, our work was like, just stay home. Yep. We're cool with that. Work from home for 10 days, 2 weeks, whatever you got to do. And then, you know, we'll follow back up. Our work had a period where everybody went home.
Yep.
Right. Anyway, the short of it is, we had the wear a mask if you think you've been exposed, self-quarantine if you think you've been exposed, and then get back to regular life. And then it became, as you were saying, let's do 2 weeks to flatten the curve. Let's just shut everything down for 2 weeks. We'll get everybody that is sick can get better, and then we'll go about life. Well, that was a dumb idea, in my opinion, but it doesn't matter too much. It went from that into now, okay, maybe everybody should just wear a mask. Yeah, definitely everybody should wear a mask. You know what? Everybody should wear two masks. Everybody should definitely wear two masks. And then we had two, maybe three masks, right? And this was a year, 18 months max.
That was around inauguration. The two mask thing started.
And then suddenly, when Biden takes office, the Fauci, who, by the way, has been the guy the entire time, says, "Yeah, you know what? Maybe we can loosen it all up."
Maybe testing standards for COVID changed the day after inauguration as well.
I'd believe it. And we knew that going in, that they were claiming deaths that weren't really COVID deaths. There was a lot of murky data. It doesn't matter too much. The whole point is the mask thing progressed. They made it worse and worse. And it was like, how liberal are you? Like, how dedicated to this are you? You have Biden calling it an act of patriotism to wear a mask. That's the most absurd thing I've ever heard. But he did it. You're a patriot if you wear a mask. No, you're not. It doesn't mean you love America because you put a mask on, because the government tells you, well, due to all this murky science, we think maybe you should. But a lot of us, I think, were trying to read the tea leaves here, and we came away with the idea that this was all being politicized. It was all being politicized. And so anyway, suddenly Biden gets into the office, and what? Within a few months, they go, well, guess what? We don't need masks at all. So we went from a mask for exposure to 2 weeks to flatten the curve, to everybody wear them all the time until it goes away, to maybe wear two or three,
You're missing a very important part, though.
Tell me.
So right before we said no more masks, you're good, days before that, because that was last Thursday, I think, was they said they're easing the mask restrictions in mass, right?
Right.
Only a few days before that, Biden gave his vaxxed or masked little quip, right?
The choice is yours. Yeah, or so, not the choice, the new rule. What do you say? The new rule is simple.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I find it very strange and laughable at the same time that we're issued this ultimatum of get the jab or wear a mask in perpetuity.
Yeah. Because you get this
within 2 or 3 days. You know what, guys? Listen, we're good on it.
Yeah.
We appreciate your participation. We're just going to knock it off now. Yeah. And then you got Target, Walmart, CVS, all your grocery stores and the like are all just like, nope, we're good. And we're not going to ask anyone for proof of vaccination.
Yep.
And it's true because I went to Target today and almost no one in the store was wearing a mask.
Yeah. Publix has a sign up. We were there tonight doing our grocery shopping. And everybody in there had a mask, almost all of them. The sign at the front now says, in accordance with CDC guidance, Publix is asking all non-vaccinated customers to mask up. Screw you, Publix. Like, quite frankly, no. Yeah. Like, no, I'll come in and sneeze on all your vegetables. That's so stupid. It's so stupid. Because, you know, Delta, their CEO, had the kerfuffle this week. At least I think it was a terrible thing. I'll never purposefully fly Delta again.
I don't know what you're talking about. Tell me.
He said, if you want to work for the company now, you have to get the vaccine. All new hires must have the vaccine. Okay. If you work there now, you don't have to go get it. But if you're a new hire, you have to have it. Here's a question. What would happen?
How does that work?
What would happen if a woman went to work at Delta and someone in the interview process just simply said to the woman, "You ever had an abortion?" That woman would rightfully be outraged. She'd have every right to be outraged and say, "How dare you? What business is that of yours? That's personal medical history. Nobody comes between me and my doctor. My body, my choice." We have the party of nobody between me and my doctor. Roe versus Wade, that's what they'll tell you. I've literally had women yell in my face, screaming, and had to be restrained that Roe versus Wade was only about the public not having access and the government not being allowed to get between a woman and her doctor. Okay.
And those people don't understand the irony.
And now they're screaming about masks. Yeah. what's it like to be a fool? Like, what's it like to be so hypocritical? Like the young man said at the top of the show, is there a word for this, Mom? Yes, hypocrisy. Hypocrisy. What right does Delta have to ever ask you about your medical history? And furthermore, what right does any company have to mandate you receive some sort of medical procedure of any type, be it a vaccination, be it you have to go to the dermatologist to have your skin checked? I don't care how minor the procedure is. No company has the right to force that upon you.
What other vaccines do they make sure you've had?
Don't know.
Not if public schools do.
But right.
Let's just separate that.
Yeah.
I've worked for several different places in my life, as you have as well. Has anyone ever asked you for a vaccination record?
Right. No, not that I can remember.
I did work in a hospital, and they had me get a TB test.
Right.
But, I mean, that seems completely reasonable because their concern is you don't want to spread it in the hospital, and or I could have gotten it from working there. So, you know, that was a normal request, I thought.
I don't know that everyone realizes quite yet that they're going to have to do this every 6 months.
And yeah, I like how the media kind of sprinkled that out there, and then they for like a week, and then they just stopped talking about it.
How would Delta, a company of that size, ever keep up with that logistically speaking? Imagine having that many employees, and then every 6 months you have to follow up with them to make sure they're up to date on their vaccines for COVID. COVID, you have to get a booster at 6 months. This thing isn't lasting forever. Right? You get two rounds, and then you wait 6 months, you come back for a booster, and then at your year mark, you get your two rounds again.
I'm not a doctor, but I would surmise that's because it doesn't actually work.
Not fully. Did you see Eric Clapton?
I did see the headline, but I don't know the story. So apparently he was worried that he wasn't going to be able to play guitar again or something.
His reaction to the vaccine, yes, was so bad that he wrote to a friend and said, I don't know that I'll ever be able to play again. I'm terrified. It's that bad. Rolling Stone published the letter that Clapton wrote. Let me see. I'll find it. A letter Clapton wrote describing his ordeal to architect and anti-lockdown activist Robin Grosday. Don't know. That's definitely not right. Definitely right, not right. Grazidei. Want to take a stab?
No, sir.
All right. That guy shared it, or maybe a woman, I'm sorry, Robin, shared it with the guitarist's permission. The letter says, quote, I took the first jab of the AstraZeneca, that's AZ, he just puts AZ in there, and straight away had severe reactions, which lasted 10 days. I recovered eventually and was told it would be 12 weeks before the second one. About 6 weeks later, I was offered and took the second shot, but with a little more knowledge of the dangers. Needless to say, this is Clapton, needless to say, the reactions were disastrous. My hands and feet were either frozen, numb, or burning, and pretty much useless for 2 weeks. I feared I would never play again. Clapton also shared in a letter that he suffers from peripheral neuropathy and could have never gone near the needle, and that the propaganda said the vaccine was safe for everyone.
Eric Clapton is actually deathly afraid of needles.
Yeah.
So if you read his autobiography, he basically talks about how he spent the majority of the 70s in a heroin haze, but he didn't use a needle. He actually snorted the powder form of it because he was so terrified of needles.
That is one dedicated phobia.
That is, yeah.
I hate needles, but I love drugs.
Yep. Give me that hair on.
I need some heroin. Well, I mean, I'm not going to like use a needle to get it, though. I'm not crazy. Be snort that. Anyway, I'm glad he's better, I guess. I guess he's better of both his addictions and the vaccine.
See Bill Maher?
Yes.
Bill Maher, the New York Yankees. See those guys? All got two shots and they had an outbreak in the team there.
No, I didn't see that part. I thought you were talking about the Bill Maher monologue where he's basically making fun of the audience, and they all stayed quiet.
No, I'm bringing up examples of people who have had both doses and are still getting COVID.
Oh. No, I didn't know that.
Heard that? Yeah. Uh-uh. Yeah, that's a thing.
Yeah. Well, no, I mean, I know people are getting it after getting both doses.
Yeah, but you hear like little stories here and there, but now it's like people that you know, you know, out there in the public life are having the same issues.
It's an ineffective vaccine,
right?
For all we can tell. I'll tell you another side effect that has happened in my family, my wife and all three of my children, by the way. And you're going to think this is crazy, but it is 100% true. If you look on the internet, there is at least enough chatter to make you raise an eyebrow about the fact that unvaccinated people who are having interactions with vaccinated people are developing sores in their mouth as a result. Have you seen this?
No.
It's not a joke. I'm not kidding. Happened to my wife and all three kids just after being around vaccinated people. They all came down with some sort of sore inside of their mouth, just like a little canker sore that healed up over the course of a few days. And maybe it's all coincidence, but I don't believe in those things, because if you go online and look into it, there's a large swath of people who will tell you, hey, why is it that it's a sore as if I ate pizza that was still too hot. And there's tons and tons of people complaining about, I'm unvaccinated, I hung around with vaccinated people, and this is a thing. And it happened to us. So I find it to be very, very strange. You have to wonder what is going on. What is, here's an experimental vaccine.
Seems a lot like the start to the plot of every zombie movie I've ever seen.
Starts to feel that way, doesn't it? I can't wait to shoot some zombies. Anyway, they're not the vaccinated people, like real zombies.
No, no, I got you. I knew what you meant.
Okay.
Wink, wink.
So anyway, it's become a political football. I find it to be disheartening because of the way, I guess it's almost hypocritical to make that joke and then say it. I'm kidding. But it has turned us into such a set of angry people. It's been really interesting to see. And I'm just amazed time and time again when Biden says the new rule is you have to have the vaccine or you have to wear a mask. It's like your scarlet letter, you know. My body, my choice. Nobody between me and my doctor. It's all out the window. It's all out the window. Their principles are obviously so weak that if they can gain political capital, they're willing to do that. Okay, so is that enough COVID talk? That's plenty.
Yeah, I'd say so.
Okay, let's play this video. This is insanity that Hulon found. Insanity. I would say this wasn't true if I didn't see it myself.
Likewise. That's why I sent it to you.
This video, according to Gateway Pundit, directly contradicts what the government is alleging in a complaint against the Capitol protesters from January 6th.
It's an insurrection, sir.
Right. First of all, worst insurrection ever. You did nothing.
Yep.
You didn't even bring weapons. You're not even as good as an Antifa crowd. Anyway, these guys are being charged with breaking in and causing all this mayhem. But now there is video explicitly showing Capitol Police telling the protesters of January 6th that if they promise to be peaceful, they'll let them into the Senate chamber. And not a joke. Not a joke. Here's how it goes.
Listen up. The police here are willing to work with us and cooperate peacefully, like our First Amendment allows. Gather more Americans under the condition that they will come and gather peacefully to discuss what needs to be done to save our country.
Okay, so this is the guy you've seen in a lot of videos, not the guy with the horns on his head, but he's got this crazy tattoo on the back of his hand that you can see while he's talking into the
bullhorn.
Yeah, he's definitely homeless looking. But there's Capitol Police officers right behind him. This is Jacob Chansley, the so-called Q shaman. One officer identified in the video and confirmed by charging documents as Officer Keith Robichaud appears to tell Chansley's group they won't stop them from entering the building. We're not against you. You need to show us. No attacking, no assault, remain calm. So what you just heard is Chansley telling his friends, go get more people to come in and protest, and they'll be welcomed here as long as they can be calm and not violent. And so then the dude with the horns enters the chat. This is the cop.
Going to be heard. Everybody, this must be peaceful.
This has to be peaceful. We have the right to peacefully assemble.
So, all right, what that was the cop explaining to him, you have to show us that you're going to be peaceful, and then the guy in the horns was yelling, "It's got to be peaceful." I don't know that anybody would be surprised by this, because again, I think we all already agree. It wasn't a true insurrection?
No. Well, I mean, the first videos that led me to believe it wasn't were the ones from outside where you see the police actually moving barricades to allow people to get closer to the Capitol.
Right.
Now, thinking logically, if you're the police and you're outnumbered 50 to 1, I could see where you would just go, okay, guys, you got it.
Uh-huh.
And you're going to let them go past you. So right. I didn't buy into the narrative that it was, you know,
an invitation.
People were allowed to. I thought that this was a strategic move by the police to not escalate violence. So I thought it was pretty reasonable. Now you have this video and then another that I just found where they literally are handing out visitor name tags to guys and letting them walk around the metal detector to get in and putting, you see the cop pull the visitor tag off of a sheet of paper and stick it to the guy's chest and let him walk past.
And give him directions throughout the building.
Right.
Yeah. Basically tells him where people are or are not.
This insurrection narrative is completely gone.
Yeah. Too little, too late.
A narrative that only existed because of the media.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Because remember, the only person that actually was killed on site that day was one of the protesters.
Yeah, Air Force veteran.
By Shot a Secret Service agent.
Yeah.
The narrative that the police officer was hit upside the head with a fire extinguisher and murdered in cold blood out there on the steps of the Capitol, we found out.
Yeah, not true.
Not true. He had apparently had a stroke that night afterwards.
Yeah, Sitnik was his name.
Yep, yep. So, yeah. I mean, this whole thing is just pretty absurd.
Well,
I don't know where if you're one of the people that went in the building that day, now, save for the people who stole things and desecrated, the public space. If you were just in there, I don't see how they can prosecute you for anything, given what we've seen.
It should be a warning sign to the next generation about how dishonest the media really is.
Sure.
And that's all we can hope for, is that they come out with it and they can see all sides of it and go, man, the people at CNN and MSNBC, they just lie. They just say anything they want to say. Like, it just doesn't matter to them what the truth is. It matters to them what they want people to believe, which is kind of the thing we talked about about COVID once was, okay, just be careful, though. Like, are you afraid of what you're seeing or what you're being told?
Yep.
And those are different things, right? And so now it's pretty much the same idea come full circle. Like, are you convinced that there was an insurrection and that these were violent Trump protesters, or were you just told that by the media?
Yeah.
Because that's what they told you to see, and then you saw it that way. Obviously, too little, too late. Very much like Maricopa County, what's happening out there right now. We've got a Democrat sheriff refusing to hand over servers. Acting like there's nothing to see here.
He's bought and paid for by Soros, too.
So I've heard, yeah.
Soros put $2 million into his coffers when he was running for election.
What a wild ride.
And then beat, what's the guy's name? Arpaio. Beat him handedly.
Sheriff Joe.
Because he had all the money.
Yeah, and Joe had kind of fallen out of graces. He had some crazy things he was kind of talking about. Yeah. And I don't know.
He wasn't
exactly
doing himself any favors.
No, but he was great. Like, had he stayed the course, he could have been president.
How many other county sheriffs do you know by name other than the county that you live in or surrounding?
I couldn't even tell you. Well, I guess I could tell you Greenville County Sheriff Hobart Lewis.
I could probably name.
Only because we just did it. But
I could probably name three or four in this state only because it's places where I lived and those guys are still in office.
Yeah.
Beyond that, I couldn't tell you any other ones.
Yep.
But everybody knows who he is.
Yeah, do you remember the pink uniforms making
absolutely,
him famous?
Man.
Yeah,
absolutely.
I think he called it Tent City or something like that,
Tent
right?
Tent City.
Yeah.
Put him in pink uniforms.
Yeah, they had to ride a recumbent bike to power their television if they wanted to watch TV.
Yep.
He was awesome. He was awesome. And had he just done that, he'd have been okay. But he got into, like, the birth certificate stuff and just, oh, well, took a step too far. Anyway. All that is to say, you look at what's happening in Maricopa County. They're refusing to talk about the fact that there's massive discrepancies in the voting out there. The sheriff's refusing to hand over servers and et cetera, et cetera. And again, the vote fraud was exactly what the media wanted it to be. They used it for their gain. They turned a legitimate issue into the birther issue again. Yep. And
yeah, anyone that brought it up was nuts.
You're crazy. You're crazy to even bring it up. Yep. We know. So... It's a wild ride. It is where we are now, and it does give you kind of a reason to pause and consider. But
I knew we were in trouble with the election when the media was saying things like unfounded, you know, and using these different descriptive words when they were talking about you know, the fact that there was
without evidence. The president fraud. Says, yeah,
it's like, okay, that's not reporting at all. You're absolutely editorializing. You know, the narrative here, this isn't about what could or couldn't be or what is.
Right.
It's just about what you want it to be.
Yep.
And I thought, man, that's bad news because they slip it in so easily, you know? And so if you're not really paying attention, you know, if you're the low information voter, you hear it and you take it for face value.
Why would you not?
Especially if it's repeated to you day in and day out.
It's all over your Facebook feed, right? Everywhere you turn, this is given to you as if it's the truth. And now that's what you walk away with rather than actually having all sides of it available to you.
Yep.
It's kind of wild the way they're doing it. And they're doing it right in our faces. It's so funny. It's like there's nothing we can really do about it except whine and complain and you know, try and use Parler. But then it gets shut down and it's like, well, what are you going to do? What are you going to do? I don't know. We'll find out next week. We'll come back and solve all the world's problems. Okay, let's talk about our voter of the week.
I'm an ambitious officer.
One voter. Everybody knows the rules.
I need to be a part of the 100 Club.
Yeah. He's not a doctor, but he plays one on TV. And this week's voter is Mr. Bill Gates. New report issued by the Wall Street Journal about Bill Gates' affair with a Microsoft employee that apparently lasted for a year. For a year. Gates was removed from the board due to this relationship. Did you know that? I didn't know that. Everybody thought he just quietly stepped away to go be a philanthropist. Not so much. Microsoft Corporation board members decided that Gates needed to step down from its board in 2020 as they pursued an investigation into the billionaire's prior romantic relationship with a female Microsoft employee that was deemed inappropriate, people familiar with the matter said. Members of the board tasked with the matter, hired a law firm to conduct an investigation in late 2019 after a Microsoft engineer alleged in a letter that she had a sexual relationship over years with Mr. Gates. During the probe, some board members decided it was no longer suitable for Mr. Gates to sit as a director at the software company he started and led for decades. Before the board's investigation was completed and before the full board could make a formal decision on the matter, Gates resigns. Anyway... there you go. By the way, Bill Gates is really creepy. Really creepy. Did you see the New York Post report about the fact that, A, he asked his ex-girlfriend for permission to marry his wife, Melinda? And then...
what does that even mean?
Like, he still... this is what it means. It means that he asked her, should I marry this woman? And then he went to his wife and proposed... but then said, I don't know, they said it like right after he proposed, but as long as he's been married to his wife, every year he's taken a beach trip with his ex-girlfriend, just the two of them, off to the beach. That's from the New York Post. Hmm. Isn't that weird?
He also used to take beach trips with this one fella. What was his name?
Oh, yeah, the pedophile.
Yeah.
Dude, wait a second. Wait. I just thought of this.
Lay it on me.
We've been blaming Hillary this whole time.
Well, yeah.
Hillary's money is like nothing. Hillary's money versus Bill Gates' money is like my money versus Hillary's money.
That's fair. That is a good point.
So who could have had Epstein killed much, much, much easier than whom? Draw your own conclusions. I'm not naming names.
I mean, Bill Gates probably knew how to hack the cameras. Just saying.
All right, flesh this out with me for just a second because we're on to something. Hold on a second. You got a guy that invented the Windows operating system in his garage with help from a friend.
Yep.
You got a bad camera.
Mm-hmm.
You got a robot that murdered Epstein.
Yes.
I don't know what else there is to say. I think we just...
Damn robots.
We just wrapped it all up right there, right? Like, that's what happened to Jeffrey Epstein, right?
Yep.
A Bill Gates robot murdered him.
No. It's because he was taking vacations with his ex-girlfriend, Epstein's Island. Clearly. I mean, what else... What other beach is he going to?
I mean, with the ex-girlfriend, it was actually to North Carolina. They have a beach cottage in North Carolina they went to. But he did get on Epstein's jet after Epstein had been convicted. He's jet set with that guy, and his wife was apparently furious about that.
Furious about hanging out with Epstein, but not furious about the annual beach trip with the ex-girlfriend.
Yeah, but I give her a pass on that. You know why? No prenup. No prenup.
Okay.
So I'm thinking.
Sure.
Okay.
Sure. But let's take Bezos and his wife as an example here. They got divorced. I don't think they had a prenup. And she became the richest woman in the world.
Yeah.
Overnight.
Yeah.
So all I'm
That's
saying,
what I'm saying.
All I'm saying is they didn't need a prenup.
That's my point.
She could have just walked away with untold sums of money.
Bill and Melinda Gates have no prenup, right? That's my point. You're exactly right. What I'm saying is, all right, you're Melinda Gates, right? Or Melinda whatever maiden name is. So you're Melinda Maiden. And here comes this geek, this weirdo. He's like, oh, man, we should get married. And you're like, I don't know, you're kind of strange, right? But...
She was working for him, too, by the way.
Oh, was she?
That's how they met.
Yeah. Nice. Great. Okay. No. Even better. That solidifies the point. So she's working for... Here comes your rich... Just your filthy rich boss. Millions of dollars at this point. Maybe even billions. And he goes, hey, you want to get... You wanna get married? And you're like... in your head. You think, no. But then out loud, you go, I mean, as long as there's no prenup. And he's like, no, we don't have to do a prenup. And you're like, okay, maybe. And he's like, one quick thing. I do vacation with my ex-girlfriend every year in North Carolina at the beach house. You're not coming. It's just going to be us. Need to make sure you're cool with that. Then you go, all right, wait a second. You're going to vacation with your ex, like a woman? And he's like, yeah. And you're like, and no prenup. Yeah. In your head, you do a little quick math. And you're like, I mean, how long is this going to take? So then you go, all right, I'll do that. And you just watch him amass this fortune, just a fortune. And your only job is to run around the world and spend it all. And not frivolously and on yourself. Like, you're helping people. You're doing good around the world.
Right.
That's what she's doing. So she's living a good life. She feels good about herself. And now he's worth all these billions of dollars. And she's like, yeah, enough's enough. I'll take mine now, please. And he's going to hand it over and she's going to go live it up.
Yeah, she can do whatever she wants.
Yeah. And I bet she never had to share a bed with a man.
Probably right.
So.
I can't punch holes in any of that.
Yeah.
Just so you know.
I'm saying Melinda, much smarter than Bill, apparently. Much smarter. Yeah. She played the long game. That dude, He's like, I'm a geek. I'm going to make a vaccine. Woo.
Yeah.
She's like, whatever. I'm rich. That's what I think happened.
Yeah.
All right. Hey, next week, come back, and we'll solve all the world's problems. Didn't get to it this time. Next time, for sure.
All right.
Okay. If you want to learn more about the Felt Recoil podcast, you can at FeltRecoilShow.com. It's FeltRecoilShow.com. Please go to our Facebook page and watch 10-year-old John give it, like, just savagely school the Martin County School Board. And we'll come back in 7 days and shoot the breeze with you. If you want to be a part of the show, don't forget anchor.fm. Search out Felt Recoil, and you can leave us a voice message, which we can play on the show. All right? Link to that in the show notes down there for you. We'll see you in 7 days.